1993, Ligeti delivered a speech in which he revealed his sense of being stylistically imprisoned, trapped between the walls of the avant-garde and those of the past. "I want to escape," he said at the time. If this affirmation made in the 90s referred to some metaphorical walls, those he had to climb in the late 40s, beginning of the 50s, were painfully real, with bricks made of solid ideology. And yes, he wanted to escape. He was looking for a way out because he had been commissioned in Budapest to write a piece in honor of Stalin or Rakosin, a task he naturally wanted to avoid. His way out was provided by a short-term scholarship at the Folklore Institute in Bucharest, and he arrived on Romanian soil by the end of 49. One of the musical fruits of his sudden escape was his first orchestra piece, the Romanian Concerto. Listeners may surrender easily to Ligeti's joyful piece without noticing that concealed behind its ethnic sounds lies a distillation of a difficult historical moment in which both Hungary and Romania were moving inside the frontiers of the Eastern Bloc. This colorful work captures the context of the years 49-51, the period which marks its gestation and completion. A historical scrutiny of the year 1949 reveals a series of traumatic events which impacted at every level on the destiny of both countries. The wheels of terror had been set in motion behind the Iron Curtain and were meant to put the entire Eastern Bloc in political and ideological synchrony. In Hungary, 49 saw the execution of László Rajk, after a process framed by Rákosi and molded according to the pure Stalinist pattern. Ligeti arrived in the neighboring capital city of Bucharest, only to find a striking, yet somehow unsurprisingly similar situation. In 49, Romania, under the rule of Gheorghe Gheorghiu-Dej, was witnessing the first communist executions, and it was also the year when the so-called Vitezi experiment had begun. Culture harnessed itself to the objectives of the new ideology. Ligeti's arrival to Bucharest coincided with a moment when the Society of Romanian Composers completely reshaped its purposes, according to the Prague Congress held in 1948. In 49, Matei Sokor, a faithful follower of communist propaganda, had been appointed the new head of the society directly after such musicians as Enescu and Jura had been removed from their positions of president and vice president, respectively. An official list arranged the categories of musicians by their political usefulness. In order to understand something of how these definitions were arrived at, it may be mentioned that within the suspicious category fell such names as Mihail Jora, who had acquired the reputation of being nest of old bourgeoisie aesthetics, and among those to be removed were many notable names, some of them already based abroad, including Constantin Brăiloiu and Dino Lipati. New ideologies stormed culture and forced artists to follow new currents towards absurd goals. The wooden rhetoric and the threats went hand in hand, openly showing the consequences for those artists who would cling to Western or bourgeois values. One fragment from a newspaper article sounds a horrific note. "All those who are against the bright path of our Romanian popular democracy have already been and will be eliminated." Sharp debates took place during this conference organized by the Society of Romanian Composers, and acknowledged artists were criticized for anachronistic or universalist tendencies. Anna Paukăt, a key figure of the new regime in Romania, foreign minister during the time Ligeti was in Bucharest, was showing the way in which Romanian artists were expected to reshape their approach to the arts, underlying a clear dissociation from Western culture and the need for artists to join the general stream. Composers should learn and unlearn a lot. This meant that the regime had started to fence new music off from the West and from the poisonous bourgeoisie. In fact, new ideology and the values of Western culture had officially become polar opposites, not only in Romania or Hungary, but across the entire communist bloc. Ligeti's temporary escape to Bucharest, therefore, turned out merely to be a change of scenery. The ideological turmoil was the same. A long list of the new emergent repertoire in tune with the new ideology had been drawn up, showing a grotesque uniformity of topics and a strong working class flavor. The use of folklore in exchange was strongly encouraged in the report of the conference, but as expected, also the use of folk music in composition should follow strict rules. Music was meant to be an ideological weapon, and folklore, employed in a certain politically correct way, was part of the communist propaganda arsenal. The slightest deviation became subject to the harshest of critiques and censorship. Apparently, writing a folk-based piece had become like walking through a minefield. In Romania, Constantin Silvestri was criticized for the improper manner in which he employed folk elements, formalist, decadent. Enescu himself was blacklisted, and it was said that after composing the two rhapsodies, I quote, he breaks up with real life and from the source of inspiration, which is the people, and allows himself to be overwhelmed by musical rotten stuff of the West, end of quote. The pieces in Romanian style, which meant by that time the use of the folk music in a more sophisticated, subtle way, had been sanctioned as well. In his report presented at the National Conference in 1949, Matei Socor clearly set out how the rules of folk music should be approached, also emphasizing how it shouldn't. He said, some of the productions in Romanian style suggest the cosmopolite image of the boyar, who from the veranda of his feudal lordly house takes the light of the Romanian picturesque landscapes. Usually such compositions in Romanian style are full of nostalgic, mystical or entertainment elements. In the same report, the employment of folk heritage was highly encouraged only if they were to be provided with a new socialist content. Here is what should have not been done while employing folk material. Stoia, in his intervention, accused a certain category of composers who, I quote, take folk themes, mutilate and expand them over a few chords and a few metrical changes, and present them as Romanian music compositions. Also, the most authentic folk music had to be censored. Harry Brauner, director of the Folklore Institute in Bucharest, decreed that some folk music genres were outdated, such as Doina, a slow yearning song so emblematic for Romanian folk heritage. This genre, according to Brauner, was related to the past and had no longer any meaning in the present. Besides, he drew attention and called for prudence in approaching the fast folk dance melodies. Even the most acknowledged musicians of the past were monitored and could not get away from the critics, among them Bartók himself. It was Ovidiu Varga who showed that also, I quote, in Bartók's music there can be found a series of negative formalist elements, especially in the way he treated the folk music from the harmonic point of view, influences which had unhealthy consequences even for Romanian composition, end of quote. What a contrast with Constantin Brăiloiu's words expressed right after the death of Bartók in 1945, saying that Romanians had just lost a great friend. How then, in such a hostile context for artists, would Ligeti dare to have recourse to Romanian or Hungarian folklore and make use of it in his compositions? He completed his folk-inspired piece when he returned to Budapest, passing through an intermediary stage, the piece Ballada și Joc, but the restrictions in employing folk heritage were enforced also in Hungary. Was Ligeti adopting the new guidelines in his Romanian concerto back home? Certainly not. Surely, all the critiques expressed at the conference in Bucharest could very well apply to Ligeti's Romanian concerto, even though the piece could be described today as listener-friendly. For that matter, at a superficial glance, Ligeti's approach to folk music seemed in keeping with the regime's specifications. But to compare the clear-cut instructions stated in the report with the score of the Romanian concerto is to detect a number of discrepancies which might show that Ligeti was in fact ignoring the new order while simply searching for his own artistic identity. Even though he felt an affinity for the communist doctrine immediately after the war, he quickly saw the danger lurking beneath the ideology and tried to stay away from any commissions. Indeed, the Romanian concerto showcases all the errors pointed out in the report of the National Conference held in Bucharest in 1949, as is shown by the fact that the premiere was later banned in communist Hungary. Not even when sounding the ending note was the composer safe at the beginning of the 50s. Firstly, Ligeti's intention was never to please the regime. In terms of folk music research and composition, he simply followed in the footsteps of Bartók, whom he greatly admired. The four movements alternate stylistically between the sound world of Enescu's Rhapsody No. 1 in its melodic figurations and, in certain parts, Bartók's manner of dealing with the orchestra. One will find echoes of the Romanian dances, the concerto for orchestra, and even similarities with the viola concerto, especially in the opening of the third movement. The 28-year-old composer relied on the most authentic melodic sources, free of socialist content, all extracted and transcribed from the wax cylinders of the Folklore Institute in Bucharest, as is shown by Ligeti's manuscripts held by the Zahar Archives. We have a few examples on display. First of all, his interest in folk music was genuine, and an interview in Romanian given to the composer Nicolae Brânduș in 79 confirms it. Besides the choice of most authentic sources, Ligeti used what would have seemed to the New Year's strange harmonies in the slow movement, which mimic the Bujum signals in the Carpathian Mountains, exploring the acoustic universe of untempered intonation by means of an artifice. According to the specification of the score, the players should replicate the sonority of natural horns by keeping their right hands outside the bell of the instruments and by making use of their natural harmonics. Another inadvisable error, which sums up the previous ones, was the quotation of very fast, entertainment-like folk dances in two movements of the piece. Let's have an example. Flexible transitional fragments, but worst of all, he indulged himself by making use of the forbidden fruit of the dissonance, something which also may have raised the eyebrows of the Eastern Bloc censors. By extracting an introductory motif from a Romanian folk dance called Sârba, which he transcribed in Bucharest, he emphasized or stained the coda segment with an extended minor second. Could one speculate that the young composer has encoded in this alarm dissonance his own voice with the same exclamation, "I want to escape"? Let's listen to it and to the preparation of this dissonance. Here accompanied by a pointillist figuration, and later, outside the Iron Curtain, in his violin concerto, composed between 89 and 93, when folk music was not a political requirement anymore. Ligeti couldn't have known Enescu's Fifth Symphony, because the composer left it unorchestrated. Let's listen and compare three fragments in order to prove this.
Thank you.
by the Ionescu Museum in Bucharest, by the end of the second movement, which employs the pastoral nostalgic folk melody, one can find the composer's note Sinaia Luminish, his summer villa in the Carpathians, 1941. It is evident that at the time Ligeti wrote Musica Ricercata, or the Six Bagatelles, he couldn't have possibly known Enescu's piece. Besides, no one could have suspected Enescu of showing obeisance toward any ideological platform whatsoever. Nor had Ligeti heard this melody when composing his violin concerto, where the folk theme generated an unusually beautiful chorale played by the ocarinas, because Enescu's Fifth Symphony was only publicly performed in Romania in the 90s, orchestrated by Pascal Bentoiu in 1995. Seeking to explain this striking coincidence, also noticed by the composer Julian Anderson, an answer may be found once again at the Folklore Institute in Bucharest. In 1932, Enescu was an elected member of the Romanian Academy. Among his duties was to express an opinion and write reports on musical or scientific works to be published or publicly presented. A number of important folk music collections were viewed by him, which later entered the library stock of the Institute. Enescu also had the opportunity to listen in 1938 to some 30 discs recorded by Brăiloiu containing Romanian folk music from all over the country, recordings which had also been broadcast in 1937 and 1938 by the radio station in Bucharest. The discs could have very well ended up at the Folklore Institute. Could this be an explanation for the folk song used by both Enescu and Ligeti independently of one another? The research is underway and will hopefully prove it. This melodic coincidence only goes to show that for Ligeti, sounding the ethnic note in his Romanian concerto was something which came from a sound musical instinct and was not an enthusiastic response to a predetermined ideology. His piece did not meet the requirements and did not fit the template of the new aesthetics. Instead of striking, Ligeti sounded the ending note, whether it was Romanian or Hungarian, showing that his interest in such a rich source of inspiration went in his early years far beyond time, borders, and ideologies. Thank you very much.